I'm going to go over to questions real quick. Tom was saying, I'm wondering if the angels are working not only on our own particular world of experience, but also on multidimensional levels of time-space. If so, they have their hands full because, at our most basic level, we are individually part of a personal soul group with 11 other identities existing simultaneously with us, but in different time-space coordinates. Would you concur with this theory, and if so, have you or any others met some of their soul counterparts? I think the reincarnation phenomenon is better described in this framework as lives existing simultaneously instead of each of us experiencing a linear reincarnational experience. So, there's first of all, thank you, Tom, for taking the time to write that out and in a very well-formed statement and question. So what he's talking about is this awareness of that our souls and, you know, the aspect of being that is living through a series of incarnations, that each of our souls or incarnated personalities is part of an oversoul with 11 other soul extensions. And so every oversoul has 12 soul extensions and is also a part of a larger entity or higher self that has been called by many as the I Am Presence or the Monad, which has 12 oversouls. So you have the I Am Presence with 12 oversouls, which are like emanations of self that are projected out, and then each one of those has 12 soul extensions, which are the aspects of us that incarnate into physical bodies. And so the reason why spirit, and I'm open to if there's better information about how this works or how things are truly configured in creation, I'm open to receive that from the masters. But since I first read that information, I've received a lot of confirmations about the fact that it does work that way. I've traveled inwardly into the oversoul and then up into the monad, and then even looked at what would be described as the monadic group, because each monad or I Am Presence is also part of a group, and then it just goes higher and higher and higher. And so the reason I'm just prefacing the response to the question with a little bit more background in what he's talking about here, because the reason why it's set up that way is multifaceted. One is that this pattern of being on this small scale, on a microcosmic scale, is reflective of the macrocosm. And so if you go all the way back to source in this universe, you have a 12-in-1 being. There are 12 emanations of source that are, it's like the original council of 12 that are co-creators with the one. And so all of being is patterned after that 12-in-1 structure. And so our higher selves are also 12-in-1 beings. Or, in this case, if you look at it from the monadic level, we are 144-in-1 beings. higher levels of self would see even larger patterns of incarnations as being all part of oneself. So the question here is, are the angels working not only on our particular world of experience, but also on multidimensional levels of space-time in the context of these, our 11 other soul extensions? Yes, they absolutely are. There's a lot that we don't know about this, but I can tell you from personal experience that not only are the angels, working with each one, but very often they will also facilitate link-ups between soul extensions, where there is a sharing of consciousness. And another point that I was going to make about why we are created in this way is that it makes ascension a group process, or liberation from karma a group process, because whenever you have, say, one soul extension that starts to accelerate or become more evolved than the others, then it will begin to take on some of the responsibility of teaching and facilitating and supporting the other soul extensions. So the goal is for, say in the context of the Oversoul, is for all 12 soul extensions to complete their balancing of their karma and to ascend back into the Oversoul, to become one with itself at the Oversoul level. So you would become one with your 11 other soul extensions at that level in your ascension process. And then you would go on to a process of integrating with the rest of the 144 within the group of the 12 Oversouls. I hope that's not confusing for anybody. But what happens is, I've become aware of several other soul extensions that are quite advanced, that are assisting others that are not quite as far along in the ascension process. And it's a group process. It's a group process, partly it's designed that way because for every one soul extension within these groups that is liberated, it makes it easier for all of the others because that liberation, that light, that code of consciousness becomes much more readily available to all of the other soul extensions that are a part of a group, a soul family within the context of the monad. So say one of your soul extensions becomes enlightened, then the energy and the consciousness of the enlightenment of that being is able to reflect more easily into your consciousness than, say, most other people that are not part of, incarnations from that same monad. Of course, our soul extensions are not all incarnated on Earth. You all have soul extensions that are incarnated on other worlds. And the angels are coordinating the ascension of other worlds too, and probably all of the other worlds that you have incarnations on, the angels are helping to not only facilitate ascension, but they do assist with bringing codes of consciousness from one world to another through that monadic connection. It's literally like a doorway inside of your higher self that can link you to all of the other worlds that you have incarnations on. And in that regard, we really do have within our own beings, within the channel of our higher selves, a kind of a portal that can take us to many other places in a way that transcends time and space, where, in my own experience, I've been able to travel into these inner channels of being and come out on the other side in the body of another soul extension that's incarnated somewhere on another planet. And that planet could be on the other side of the galaxy. Who knows? But I travel there instantaneously because when you travel inwardly into these inner spaces, you're traveling interdimensionally. You're going up into a higher dimension of yourself and then choosing a doorway and then going down into a soul extension that could be in a completely different time reference or part of the galaxy or who knows, maybe even another galaxy. So yes, Tom, I would agree with that theory. He's asking, have you or others met some of their soul counterparts? I could tell stories and go on and on about ones I've met because that's been a part of my exploration since the out-of-body thing has come really easily for me. I read about this process from Dr. Joshua David Stone's material, and he talked about the cleansing and integration of soul extensions as part of the ascension process. And what that means is that once you start to go through your training with the Ascended Masters and your initiations into higher levels of consciousness, you naturally will start to have experiences of linking up with other soul extensions, and sometimes you become like a healer for where they're stuck. It doesn't mean that you necessarily take on their issues, but you can play a role. And sometimes you do end up, absorbing some of the core frequency of that being as a way of becoming more and more linked to the shared higher self that you have. with that being. I remember that process started for me, I want to say, in 1996, is when I started to notice these kinds of link-ups with other soul extensions. And I was surprised to find that there were a number of my soul extensions that were incarnated and had human forms. Some of them didn't. Some of them were in extraterrestrial forms. But quite a few had human forms, more so than I thought there would be. But, you know, Earth is a hot spot, so the odds are you probably have another version of yourself from the same oversoul incarnated in the world somewhere. We don't always meet each other. We don't always have that opportunity. But I have met a couple of people that I received absolute clear guidance that they were from the same monad, at least, and at least one of them is from the same oversoul. And there's no guarantee that if you met somebody that was incarnation from the same oversoul or the same monad, that you would recognize each other as that you would necessarily know. There's no guarantee that that would occur. In some cases, you might feel a very strong connection with that person, a very deep unconditional love, very deep resonance. In some cases, you could be complete opposites of each other. There's no reason to think that just because you share the same higher self on a certain level, that there might not be some duality or polarity that's playing out in the connection. So there's all kinds of different ways that we set up these relationships with people that hold that kind of energy with us. But I do know one person that I know is a soul extension from the same monad was very aware of the same type of information as I was, and we were reading all the same books and asking a lot of questions of our guides, getting to know our guides together. And he was the first one to ask whether or not we were soul extensions of the same monad. And I thought that could be true, but I wasn't sure, and I didn't have any attachment to it being true. But many, many years later, I found myself out of body connecting with him, and it was absolutely clear that we were soul extensions of the same monad. And that was very interesting to find that out. But it's very, very cool, very liberating to find out one of your other soul extensions is just as much into ascension and working with higher consciousness as you are. So sometimes soul extensions, when they're on the planet at the same time, there may not be any big plan to connect and have any type of a lasting relationship. But when you have soul extensions that are on the same planet at the same time, they do tend to, I think, like to say hello to each other, to at least cross paths. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what that was. Mm-hmm. But I do know that when we have lived many, many, many lifetimes in partnership with someone, that your energies can become so blended and so paired together and so connected on so many levels that the connection can become very much like, you know, a soul extension type connection, where you feel like you are, you know, one being on some level. You feel more of that oneness or more of that really a deep resonance. And certainly we do tend to cross paths with those people in our lives too. You know, we know so many people. I mean, there are so many souls that we have connections with from all these different lifetimes. And, you know, the number of souls that we connect with during the course of a lifetime in a meaningful way may be just a tiny fraction of the number of souls that we have, history with from other realms. So sometimes during the course of our life, we get visitors that stop in, you know, through synchronistic connections. We meet someone and, you know, maybe there's no plan for anything big or long lasting, like I said, but I can think of a number of people that I met throughout my life where I might have only just seen them that one day, and yet I always remembered it. I always felt like I was meeting somebody that I had known before, And even though there was no reason to stay in touch, there still, on some level, must have been like a soul agreement that, you know, we're on the planet at the same time. It'd be really nice to kind of bump into each other and say hello and have some kind of an exchange, or, you know, be part of each other's memories, because there's just a resonance there, or a rapport that, you know, keeps drawing the same people back to us lifetime after lifetime. So anyone else want to chime in before we complete?
If nobody else is going to chime in, a couple other things happen. I'll go through quickly.
Sure.
A very interesting thing that came up in this conversation is you're talking about our soul extensions. I've had circumstances over the last year kind of come up and hit me from behind and feel very derailing, and for no apparent reason, just like the carpet was being pulled out of a particular project or whatever. And this whole idea of soul extensions, and perhaps there's some karmic relationship that we need to work with or deal with our soul extensions more directly. Maybe that's part of the cause of some of this these phenomena that sort of come up and kind of take me by surprise. If that's the possible case, then I would be asking you, and also in meditation, I'll ask myself, what can I do about this to alleviate the need for paying off another soul extension's karma in this lifetime?
Well, I'm not so sure that it quite works that way. I think that the karma that you experience is your own karma. I don't think that we have to balance the karma of other soul extensions in the way that you're talking about. We're pretty much balancing our own karma until we cross a certain threshold, you know, the threshold of enlightenment, where we've balanced enough of our karma that a lot of it starts to get lifted through the grace of our surrender to the divine. And at that point, we become capable of assisting with transmuting the karma of other beings. I have had, I want to say, a couple of experiences that gave me a perspective, a kind of a window into what it's like to function on that level, where an ascended master was working with me and somebody that I was connected with was brought to me, and I felt some of their karmic story and their pain that they were embodying, and I was able to focus and you know, magnify love around this pattern in such a way that I began absorbing it and eating it. It's like I was eating their pain and eating it right out of their field until it just diminished it. And I'm aware that the masters have done that to me, and I've seen living masters do that with other people. I was given a couple of experiences through doing kind of remote healing work with people where I had an experience of doing that, but I was being facilitated by a master to do that, and they were showing me how that works and you know, where that is going. So in some cases, you may be doing that with a soul extension once you've, you know, reached a point of being able to function and perform that level of service. However, I don't think that we really get hit with the karma of other soul extensions in a way that compromises our own ascension process. I think that basically the karma of each soul extension is somewhat, you know, kept in focus in, you know, around that soul extension and connected with it. The balancing process that is more collective is not always about balancing karma in a way of like feeling that karma as if it's yours and there's no boundary. I think that the balancing process that we go through, where we, for example, just creating and manifesting that balance of masculine and feminine energy from within, where you're holding both masculine and feminine energy in equality. So part of the inequality between masculine and feminine energy can come from the collective of our soul extensions. Sometimes if there is an imbalance inside of us, we will attract the energy of another soul extension that also has that same imbalance, and they sometimes will project their story onto us, where we do end up resonating with another soul extension. And sometimes during the course of a life, you do create an opportunity to have that occur, where you, through creating a pattern that's similar or a story that's similar, you attract in the energy of another soul extension where there's a resonance there. And by them focusing on that pattern in you, it kind of magnifies it in a way that causes it to become, you know, it causes an awakening. You become even more aware of what the pattern is, because you're not just seeing it as your own, you're seeing it reflected in the energy of another soul extension. But that's not necessarily you taking on the karma personally of that being, because it only really happens when you have similar karma, when your karma and their karma are a match in some way. And so whenever there's a pairing together or a matching of karmic patterns, you're responsible for yours, they're responsible for theirs. However, as you work through yours, then it then helps them to repattern theirs. So you're not having to like balance the karma of two beings. You're only just balancing your own karma. But because of the way the patterns get overlaid, you are assisting them to transform and find the balance within themselves. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's an interesting, you know, another area of focus in this process, and you know, I hope what I shared is, you know, is
yeah.
Insightful, because we could actually explore this subject all
right.
night, really, because there's so much to it. But you know, don't worry, you're not bound with the karma of your soul extensions in that way. But there is a way in which some patterns can become overlaid and entangled even. But that doesn't mean that we are, you know, having an extra burden, as much as it creates an opportunity for bringing something to the forefront that needed to be resolved. You know, so it could actually feel like, you know, maybe you're being burdened with the energy of, you know, another soul extension that is, where its drama is kind of being infused into yours in a certain way. But that is what challenges us to realize where the imbalance is. I can give you an example of this, because I remember I have a soul extension that was incarnated in the Orion system that rose to a position of political power and was very influential, and experienced that power getting abused. Like, its role was manipulated, and it inadvertently ended up supporting a power structure that became very destructive. And the guilt that soul extension felt, and the fear of that ever happening again, was very strong. Well, that soul extension became aware of me in this lifetime, and because there is a rise of my influence as a sacred influence in human events. You know, I don't know if you ever read the Celestine Prophecy books, but the 12th Insight, which is the fourth book, talks about the rise of sacred influence. Basically, all of these people in the world sort of gaining momentum with having a greater strength to their example, where more and more energy is pouring into their example as their example becomes refined enough to be uplifted by spirit. And, you know, we're witnessing that happening all over the world. So this soul extension was seeing my rise to sacred influence and was projecting onto that a fear of me either abusing power or becoming manipulated and compromised in the same way that it had. And so when I felt the projection of that soul extension onto me, it felt like a resistance, like I was almost being attacked in a way by this aspect of myself that was, you know, fearing that particular aspect of my past. And I had to take a look at what was causing that. And I realized that there was some form of ambition on my part that was reminding that other being of what led it down the wrong path. And so I realized that I had to let go of ambition being a part of the way in which the visions of my potential would be fulfilled. Because I had all these visions of potential, but I had to realize that they would be fulfilled through simply aligning with God, and God would be deciding how and when and where, you know, being in charge, and that I didn't need any kind of spiritual ambition to achieve these visions. I just needed to keep surrendering to God and focusing on being of service, and the things that I had been shown would naturally come to pass. So in the beginning, I could have felt attacked and felt like, you know, why is this being not letting me, you know, align with more of the energy of the monad? Because, you know, soul extensions can literally play a role in kind of blocking our connection into the collective energy, because it's part of that collective. So if some part of your own collective has an issue with you and what you're doing, then it can come up. So, you know, like I said, in the beginning, I felt attacked and almost kind of compromised by this aspect of myself. But as I listened and I looked at why was I attracting this, where is the reflectivity, then that being became a messenger to me and allowed me to see what type of refinement I needed in order to make peace with that soul extension so that I could continue the process of aligning with our collective higher self. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much.
Yeah, so
great.
I feel so blessed that I've been able to be aware of exactly what's happening as it's happening, because I think a lot of us have these types of experiences that, you know, could be related to soul extensions, but it's not always clear what's happening or why. And certainly there can be people in your life that might, you know, step into the reflectivity of, you know, between you and a soul extension to, you know, reflect a bit of that patterning, you know, back to you so that you can process it. But this always has to come back to, you know, how is this a reflection of myself? How did I create the karma of this? You know, we have to completely move out of victim consciousness and see how we ultimately have created everything that is happening to us. And the more I have aligned with that perspective of a level of accountability where you own everything that occurs to you. You see and hold it to be true that everything that is occurring is a direct reflection of, you know, your karma coming back to you. And so, you know, in these accelerated times that we're living in, when there is so much opportunity, so much possibility, so much potential for, you know, many different types of interactions and many different people to play roles in our lives, all surrounding us all the time, then the process of balancing karma is becoming more and more accelerated. Also, if you're avoiding karma, then the ways in which you are avoiding karma will become louder and louder and louder. So, you know, if there's something that you're avoiding that you need to look at or that you need to do, or, you know, some choice that needs to be made, or some message that you are ignoring or denying or, you know, refusing to hear, it just will grow louder and louder and louder until you finally listen or you finally accept what needs to occur as part of the karmic balancing process. But the karmic balancing process, you can be very graceful when you move out of victim consciousness and start to recognize what's occurring, that every seed that you've sown is returning to you and coming back to you. You know, nothing that is occurring that would seem to be negative or compromising is truly negative or compromising, because it's all either correcting our course to send us in a different direction for some divine reason, or it's just giving us an opportunity to for karma to be fulfilled so that we can move into greater self-love and greater unconditional love with, you know, whoever is, you know, triggering things to come to the surface for us.
Great. Thank you very much.